Every homicide, every rape, every robbery affects the entire community. People who are victims of these crimes need closure. The people who committed these crimes must be held accountable. Law enforcement needs the community's help in seeking justice. Please listen as we review an unsolved mystery in this month's Cold Case Profile.
The murder of Gordon Kent has been one of the most intriguing cases that the Murfreesboro Police have ever investigated. It now has been over 18 years since Gordon Kent was brutally murdered inside his North Maple Street apartment. Effort to prosecute the person or persons responsible for Gordon Kent's death have been unsuccessful. In an effort to uncover new and additional information, the Murfreesboro Police Department has authorized the following facts to be released for this broadcast. At the time of his death, Gordon Kent was 65 years old. He was 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighed only 128 pounds. Mr. Kent lived alone in his North Maple Street apartment. A few days prior to his death, Gordon Kent's mother had passed away. Police have learned that Gordon Kent stood to inherit from his mother. Then, on February the 12th, 1996, the day that Gordon Kent's mother was buried, one of Gordon Kent's neighbors saw two men arrive at Gordon Kent's apartment. The two men were in a dark-colored foreign car, possibly a Mitsubishi. The two men enter the Kent apartment, and they stay there a short time and then leave. Later, the dark, foreign-looking car returns. But this time, only one man is seen in the car. The lone man enters Gordon Kent's apartment. A short time later, the neighbor hears banging and yelling coming from the Kent apartment. He later sees the man leave in the dark-colored car. The neighbor describes the man as being Caucasian and young, probably in his 20s. After the man left, the neighbor never saw Gordon Kent alive again. The next day, February the 13th, 1996, Gordon Kent's cleaning lady came to the Kent apartment to do the cleaning. She was unable to get anyone to come to the door. She called her husband, who was a friend of Mr. Kent's. Ultimately, the police, with the help of the landlord, opened the Kent apartment. Inside, Gordon Kent's badly beaten and lifeless body is discovered. The medical examiner determined that Gordon Kent died from blunt force trauma, trauma that caused multiple skull fractures and ultimately his death. Gordon Kent was, in layman's terms, beaten to death. Law enforcement has reopened the Gordon Kent investigation. Several witnesses have been interviewed. More interviews are now being scheduled. With the help of the TBI lab, progress is being made in the case. Investigators are now seeking the final pieces of the puzzle. Law enforcement now asks for your help. If you have any information regarding the murder of Gordon Kent, please come forward. Please help bring justice to this case and help make our community a safer place to live. With us today is Detective James Abbott. Detective Abbott, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Detective Abbott, without divulging any crucial information, can you tell us whether you believe this case is solvable?
We do believe that this case is solvable. Like with any of these cases, it's just a matter of getting the person or people that have more information about it to come forward.
And I'm not going to ask you to give us any names, but do you believe that right now you have a prime suspect in the case?
We do. We do believe, and we've focused in on a suspect.
As with many investigations in this case, where you may feel confident that you have the evidence that you need, but you need a little bit more, do you believe there is someone in this community or someone in this area who may even be listening to the broadcast who holds the last piece to that puzzle, and are you asking them to come forward?
Yes, we do believe that there is someone out there that may have that last piece of the puzzle, and we need anyone and everyone that has any information about this case to come forward, whether they think it may be helpful or not. let us make that determination. Just please come forward if you do have any information.
If someone has information about this case, how would they get into contact with the proper people to turn that information over?
They can contact the Murfreesboro Police Department's Criminal Investigation Division and ask for me, Detective James Abbott. Our number is area code 615-893-2717. They can also call the Rutherford County Crime Stoppers.
Detective Abbott, General Weitzel, I believe, is going to ask you a few questions about cold case investigations and some of the techniques that are used in helping to prosecute these cases.
Detective Abbott, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being here today. I know you've worked on several cases that are cold, this being one of them. And I believe one of the cases that you worked on we announced for trial in maybe December, the Tussie case. So can you tell us what you feel like is important in trying to solve these cases?
A lot of times what is most important about these kind of cases is actually getting the person or people that may have knowledge about these cases to come forward. You find that there's somebody out there, there's no such thing as that perfect crime. Someone will eventually talk to someone about their crime that they've committed, and it's just important to find that person, whether it be a friend, someone they've confided in, an old cellmate, someone that they have talked to that where they either was bragging or just wanting to get it off their chest of what they did.
You know, a lot of people, and this is true for some cases, a lot of cases, because of advances in technology, we're able to look at the evidence again and maybe get DNA or something like that. But my experience has been that a lot of these cases are solved by just taking another look at it and good old detective work. Has that been your experience also?
It has. A lot of these kind of cases, and with any, even a fresh kind of major case like a homicide, a lot of times we get what they call the CSI effect, and people, they think that, you know, DNA, fingerprints, and those are all really good building blocks to build a good solid case, evidentiary-wise. But those type of pieces of evidence, there's nothing like a good witness, someone who has information that can come forward and explain and tell you what happened or give you what the motive was and explain that. That is probably the key piece of any investigation. Just get out there, burn some shoe leather, and interviews, talking to people.
And I think there's another common misconception in cold cases that in some way the detectives that originally investigated the case made mistakes or didn't do a good job. And there's nothing that can be further from the truth. They laid the foundation for the case. They collected the evidence, and they interviewed the witnesses. And I know in the case that we discussed earlier, Paul, you'll remember this, in the Oran case, there was a very crucial witness that came forward who, at the time of that crime, would not have spoken to police. But as that person grew up and matured and had a family themselves, their attitudes towards the police changed, and when they were contacted this time, they were willing to help and were a key witness in that prosecution. And I think when you say we're hoping people will come forward, that's the scenario we're talking about.
Yes, sir. Again, I mean, in most of these kind of cases, a lot of times when you go back and re-interview people, you find people that were already interviewed by police or detectives in the initial stages, but they would not cooperate.
Well, again, James, I want to thank you for being here. You've done a great job as a detective. As a matter of fact, Paul and I are off to court this morning on one of your cases, the old Charlie's homicide case. We have a post-conviction hearing, and I know you did a great job in that case. So keep up the good work, and thanks again for being with us.
As we end the program today, we want to thank all of our guests for appearing. We appreciate WGNS providing the airtime. And we want to thank our producer, Scott Walker. And most of all, we want to thank all of the listeners. Our next scheduled broadcast is Friday morning, June the 6th, between 8 and 9 a.m. We leave by saying a safe community is the responsibility of each and every one of us. For Bill Weitzel, this is Paul Newman, bidding all of you a safe and blessed day.